be your holy name, Father, our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, our Creator, our Master, our life, our truth, our way, our light. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day in our life. Thank you, Lord, for the congregation of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry. Thank you, Lord, for the loved ones. Thank you, Lord, for the family. Lord, we love one another in the agape love of God. Lord, we praise you and worship you in the truth, for we are all the true worshippers of God. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be in a place where we can sing songs unto thee. To be in a place where we can say, blessed be your holy name, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the house. We thank you for the life. Lord, we thank you that you bless all of us. That we are separated from the darkness. That we are separated from the blindness. That we are separated from the ignorance. For the revelation of truth. Set all of us free. But Lord, may you bless all of us to remain as the prisoners of Christ. To remain as the bond servants of Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We pray for the peace of God to rule our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And Lord, help all of us to be courage to stand against all the storms, to stand against our flesh, to stand against our carnal desires, to stand against the snares of devil, to stand against the snares of our very own self. Lord, we pray we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, we surrender our lives, our thoughts. Lord, we surrender our everything to glorify your mighty name. May you move in the midst of us. Speak to us, Lord. May you anoint our ears. May you anoint our eyes. May you anoint our hearts and sanctify us, consecrate us, for we shall speak the words of life. And bless us, Lord, that we do not just praise you with our lips, but Lord, may you bless us to be able to say by the abundance of the heart, filled with your goodness, filled with your grace, filled with your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your righteousness. We thank you, Lord, for the truth. We surrender all of us into the mighty hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, dear brethren. Praise the Lord. God bless you all, and greetings to you all in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, brethren, who are joining from different places. We thank the Lord for assembling all of us yet again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles as we continue the journey of our learning and growth of fall and rise, fall and rise, until we fall no more. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 1 from verse 5 to 7. I will read this. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5 to 7. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor fruit nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. The agape love. The only love. There is no other love exists. Amen. Everything else is vanity. In this beautiful verses, beautiful words of life, the Lord speaking to our hearts what to add, how to add, on top of which to add, as if He is teaching us to build a small wall, a small building, a small house, one stone after another after another. Then we praise the Lord and worship the Lord when we say, the city where we shall dwell in, the builder and the maker of the city. We say, Lord, we thank you. For He builds, He creates, and He prepares. Amen. And He also teaches us how we should take on our daily battles, how we should apply the beautiful lessons that we learn from the words of life in our life. Only then those words which we learned can be seen in our life. Amen. Only then we can say words of life. The word is living in me. I studied this chapter, the Lord blessed me to understand, but that doesn't stop there. I must live that chapter. I was looking at some articles to study on some history, and I was amazed by looking at the wisdom and the knowledge and the intelligence of men who can read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. They can tell you every single verse and where it is located. If you tell them one single verse, they would read the entire chapter. It's all in their heart. They could remember all of it and they could explain all of it. But what if that vessel can remember all doctrines, can explain all the doctrines? What if those two greatest commandments our Lord and Savior gave to all of us, to love God and to love one another in the same love, not another love, in the same agape love, what if those two verses are not in the life of that vessel, but everything else is there? Do we really think the Lord would say, I am pleased in you? Even a computer can remember all the Bible verses. I've seen people who are speaking to this artificial intelligence program. Give me a sermon on 10 virgins. And in within a second, the program can write a beautiful sermon. And you can even tell the algorithm, increase the tone, reduce it, make it so soft, make it so hard, the algorithm can do it. Do you see what kind of world that we live in? Where knowledge and wisdom is increasing rapidly to the extent that itself will go and devour people in their own craftiness. If the Lord wants us to live the word, not just to understand the word, not just to put on a clothing of what we learnt, but rather for the word to live deep inside and shine as a light, there are things the Lord told us to think, those six things, which we keep on thinking about, all those six things, beautiful things, and we would know it's nothing but the mind of Christ. Amen? Amen. Goodness, whatever goodness that we can think of, there is only one who is good, for God is good. So the Lord says, live a life thinking about me, thinking how I speak, thinking how I think, thinking how I live. That consciousness, that consistency of keep on training our mind to be like Him, the desire and passion to conform to His image, the Lord wants us to be very careful of our very own heart. We have been meditating for the past few weeks concerning the city and the wall that is round about. If the wall is not built according to the will of God, but it may look like the wall, but instead of using the bond, the plaster or the paste, to put all the stone one by one and make them to be attached together as one single stone, one single wall, that bond, if we put any other bond other than the bond of perfectness, other than the bond of peace, where the Lord said, put on charity, the bond of perfectness. Amen? if we do anything else to keep us united, to justify all our service to the Lord in one accord, in one mind, the book of Ezekiel has warned us the Lord would uncover the untempered mortar. Untempered mortar was the main theme of our last Sunday sermon. So what is the opposite of it? Tempered mortar. Amen? Something that is well processed according to the guidelines or whatever the Lord wanted it to be. To go through fire, to be pushed, to be tossed and thrown, whatever the Lord wants it to be. If the mortar is not tempered as per God's will, but if it is untempered by men, by the thoughts of men, by the personal dishonest gains of men, by the own desires of the heart that deceives our very own self, that untempered mortar, the Lord says, one shall build the wall, others daubed it with untempered mortar. But what the Lord says? It shall not stand, for he will break. Amen. Can we say, Lord, we built this wall with some very strong cement? We searched everywhere and we know for sure this is the best cement that can hold the wall strong. It can stand through earthquakes, can stand through whatever the natural disaster, we are very sure. If the Lord had said something else and we do something else in the name of being better, doing better, the Lord calls it as untempered mortar. But the question is, why he allows this to be built in the first place? Why he allows this to be built in the first place? Faith, hope, charity. Faith, hope, love. Agape love. Of all this, charity is the greatest. Amen? The gifts of the Holy Spirit, 9, starts with love, joy, peace, and goes on. And here, we just read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. Add one by one. But it ends with what? Charity. Everything is rooted, founded, built upon the very reason why God created you. The very reason why he had allowed all these things to come to pass. It must be rooted in God's love. If there is no other reason, then we are just being part of a battle against good and evil, and we are just get caught in the crossfire. It's not. If the perfect will of God is like a sharp arrow, the Lord released it in his agape love. That's the reason nothing can stop the perfect will of God. For it is released from his agape love. He thought all of it because he loves you, he loves me, he loves his children to the extent that what he had done in Calvary, most of the times we tend to forget because of the very same doctrines that we learn. The more we learn, the far we become to stand away from what happened in Calvary. Few days before, by God's grace, I managed to reach out to one of my friends with whom I was part of the youth ministry 17 years ago. We used to go for all the prayer conventions, crusades, pray day and night, fasting. The Lord blessed us to learn a lot during those 4 years. And he became a minister of God. 17 years later, I reached out to him by God's grace. The very first message that he sent, are you still part of the Branhamites group? I just asked him, how are you? How is your health? How is your family? He just replied to me, are you still part of the Branhamites group? I asked him, what group? So he said, no, I just went and checked the website. It just talks about Branhamites. So I thought you are all following Branham. I asked him, have you read any books? He said, no, I have no time. Have you read anything about why and how and where everything started and where we are going? Have you done anything to read? He said, no, I have no time. But very quick to judge. That's it. Then he replied a message. I warn you again, escape from the false cult. I told him, God bless you. I didn't reply after that. Now, we think. What we think? Lord, we thank you that you did not give us this blindness. Lord, we thank you that you separated from this kind of darkness. That is not why the Lord called you. That is not why the Lord touched you. When we say, Lord, help us to do the work that you did, we should remember why he came. He said, I came for the sick. You were sick. I was sick. He healed us. He healed our broken hearted. He healed our feet which cannot stand upright. We were lame. He blessed us to stand upright. He opened our blindness. We were following something else. He granted us the revelation. He showed us his grace and mercy to see him. Those people who are extremely knowledgeable, the person who I'm talking about, he can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, closing his eyes. He still served the Lord with all his strength and might, everything. But the Lord has not yet touched him. He will touch him. For I know he is a good soul. But do you know, the trap was not for him. It was for me. It was for you. Whenever the Lord sends some people in your life, he is testing you, how you respond, how you react. Do you feel puffed up because you know what they do not know? The truth is, you did not learn. You didn't find it. It was revealed to you. Salvation is a gift, not a trophy. Amen? Revelation is by grace of God. He opened the darkness and he said, here I am. Come into the marvelous light. For the Lord who dwells in unapproachable light, nobody can approach him. Then what the Lord wants us to do? To learn from your daily life, whenever someone throws stones at you, whenever you meet a non-believer, your loved ones, are you still able to hold on to your agape love for them? If you cannot, if you feel angry, if you feel frustrated, disappointed, something has gone wrong in your heart. Over time, you allow some untempered mortar to harden your heart to the extent that you feel that you are separated. No one can separate anyone. The truth shall set us free. And where you go? To stay in the prison of Christ. Wherever you turn, his word stands. Don't do this. Do this. Don't do this. Be careful. Think like me. Speak like me. Untempered mortar is not just the cement. If the Lord give you all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, all the beautiful attributes of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, what if you learn everything but just replace that love of God with your love for God? Do you hear me? What will happen if we replace the love of God with our very own love for God, because he revealed things to you, because he keeps you well, because he gives you all the blessings, because he gave you all of this, you would also develop a love. Because the Lord has blessed me, the Lord is keeping me safe, Lord, I'm thankful. But it's a very thin line between that love and agape love. Whatever we do, the service to the Lord, whatever we do, sing songs, play instruments, do whatever the service we do, we can also do the same because I want to be sincere to the Lord. I want to be truthful to the Lord. I want to be grateful to the Lord whom showed grace and mercy to me. Is it sufficient? Is it sufficient? When the Lord said, if one say that he loves God, but he hated his brother, he killed his brother. And not just that, he says he loveth not God. Why God said that? Why he combined the two greatest commandments to summarize the 10 commandments? He said, just follow this greatest commandment. Everything else is bound to this. All the law subject to this. Why he said that? Do you see, that is the biggest trap that we all fail. In the name of our service to God, we may forget, we may forsake the assembly of God's family. We may become blind to fail to see the agape love that you must have for one another in Christ. We can say, no Lord, I want to be strict. I want to be very sincere. I will be very firm. I will do this, do this, do that. If Moses and Aaron thought that, they would have reached promised land alone, just two of them. The entire congregation of Israel would have been left behind in the wilderness. Then what is agape love?
Jesus could walk alone in Calvary, or he could also carry the cross and walk to the Calvary. Why there was extra burden on top of his shoulder? Why they could just simply beat him, just let him walk? But rather something was placed upon him. Some dead tree. He was not carrying a tree of life. A dead tree looks like shame. You and me, dead tree. And he carried us all the way until he reached the goal. Until he said, it is finished. He never gave up on you. He never gave up on me. Don't think it happened 2,000 years ago. It must happen to us every day. We should remember Calvary. This is the burden the Lord put in my heart. People forget Calvary. They remember doctrines. They forget Calvary. Everything faileth, my brethren. Charity never faileth. Because there is only one, agape love of God. Everything faileth. As we are meditating on the wrath of God, why? To see the love of God through His wrath. Because He still loves. He would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if He did not love Lot. He would not destroy Jericho if He did not love Rahab and his family. But what people say? Jesus talks about mercy, love, kindness, peace. Are you sure? Matthew 24. Let's read what the word of God spoke to us. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Let's read from the word of God. Brother Clement, read this for us. Until I request you to stop, please.
Matthew 24. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? When will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my sake, for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand.
Amen. Thank you, brother. 16 verses of Matthew 24. Our Savior, our Master, our life, our truth is speaking concerning the signs of the end. Amen. How the end times can be perceived by the children of God to continue to be watchful and to pray, to be prayerful. Amen. And look at the word that he spoke in verse 2. He says, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Why he said that? The chief cornerstone, the precious lively stone, speaking, who alone can make you to be the lively stones. Only then we can be built upon the foundation, the chief cornerstone, as the royal spiritual priesthood. Amen. He's the only one who can do that.
But what he says, he assembles the body of Christ, he put every single brick, breathe life into it, then he seals everything in his love. You look at this wall, you don't see a single stone. We don't know what is the size of the single brick that was inside this. We don't know. Because it is hidden by the plaster. It is hidden by the cement. So that it looks like one single stone. Amen? But which one is important? The wall or the foundation? It's always a foundation. If there is no foundation, there is no wall. If there is no foundation, there is no wall. Which foundation we are standing? Whatever we do could be right in the sight of men, even you could justify in scripture. But the Lord would cast a blindness into our mind, our heart, that we may see everything without the agape love. When Jesus says, whatever that is assembled against his will, whatever that is not according to his desire, whatever the men can do, when you talk about in the book of Ezekiel, then one built the wall, other daubed it with untempered mortar. This is talking about a wall in the book of Ezekiel. And here our Lord and Savior, we know what he is speaking about. And whenever he says certain things, he also triggers Pharisees and Sadducees to have this hatred to grow more to kill him. Amen? Even there were times when he said, before Abraham was I. For saying that, they were looking for stones to stone him to death. But he just escaped from them. He just fled from their presence. For that was not the right time. But what happened to him? The Lord who perceived that the enemies are going to throw stones, who fled, he was betrayed. The only way to accuse him is by betrayal. Why? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Amen? Everything was based on his desire, his love for his children, and whatever that he has to do to bring us back to where we belong. So everything is rooted on the bond of perfectness, put on charity. So, the disciple whom Jesus loved truly, because he is the truth, he cannot love him for the sake of loving. Oh, just because Judas became my disciple, I must show some love to him. That is not Christ. He is the truth. He loved him truly. And he was betrayed. But do you see, there was a difference. Peter denied Christ. Judas betrayed Christ. Why? Why there is a change in the way we understand scripture? Why? Peter denied Christ 3 times because he was scared. What if they would kill me? So what was the reason Peter denied Christ? Fear of his life. Amen? He wanted to escape from any wrath of men. But he didn't know wrath of men worketh not to righteousness. At that time, his unfaithfulness, his unbelief was uncovered. Why? Because the Lord warned him and he refused. The Lord warned him and he refused. The Lord warned him and he refused. Not just that. Remember, in those 3 beautiful events of our Lord's ministry in those 3 years, Transfiguration, Garden of Gethsemane, even the Lord when he raised the daughter of Jairus from death, he only kept 3 disciples closer to him. Amen? Peter, James and John. He maintained those 3 as an inner circle wherever he went. In those 3 important events, Peter was there. He witnessed. Still, he denied. But the Lord said, I have prayed for your faith. Amen? He didn't say, I would pray for your deliverance. I would pray for your health. I would pray for your strength. I would pray that you keep your faith. Nobody would insult you. He didn't say any of it. He said, I have prayed for thee. Because you would deny me 3 times. Then he became an apostle because the Lord prayed for him. He denied, he repented because his heart was broken. Whatever the untempered mortar Peter built in his heart was broken when the Lord uncovered his nakedness. This is the real you. The real Peter who denied me 3 times, irrespective of me, warned you 3 times, several times in various events. When he was walking in the sea, he told him, Oh ye little faith. But he was zealous, right? He was very zealous for the Lord. Very passionate. He loved the Lord truly. What separated Judas and Peter from being called one denied, one betrayed? Peter denied, he thought he could save his life by denying Christ. Lack of understanding, unbelief, unfaithfulness, nakedness. Judas thought if he betrayed Christ, he would get some 30 pieces of silver. He was not scared of his life. He thought men could protect him. Even if he betrayed Jesus, he would just get the benefit of it. The dishonest gain of it, which is the 30 pieces of silver. He's called the betrayer. In order for someone to catch the love of God, to persecute and to accuse the word of God, they must go through the same way in which he would fall, which is love. My brethren, there is nothing can stop the anger, the fury of the Lord, other than the agape love of God. He tells the vessel, remind me, I'm very angry. Moses, where are you? Remind me of my covenant. Abraham, where are you? I'm going to destroy all. Remind me of my covenant. Because I forget your iniquities. If you want me to remember your covenant, remind me. I'm looking for a vessel of mercy. I'm looking for the vessel who is yielding to my spirit. Who can just let my zeal to do the work for his will. On one side, a disciple was named as betrayer. On the other side, the one who denied Christ three times, he still became an apostle. Intense separates you from who you are, what you would become, and what you really want. Intense. Your actions may look same. We speak the same. We can do the same. But the intent, only the Holy Spirit knows. He searches all things. Stirs up all things to see what exactly you want. Judas wanted 30 pieces of silver. Peter wanted to preserve his life. He didn't know that he was alive. He denied the life to protect the death that was in him. For we are all born sinners. We have an agreement with death. And he released it from the atonement. Now we read verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Why? Why they have to rise and why they must deceive many? What is the deception? And because of iniquity shall abound, love of many shall wax cold. What? Love of many shall wax cold. What would happen when the love of many wax cold? What would happen if a new believer comes to the church after spending few weeks being very weak in faith, haven't known Christ yet, haven't received the revelation yet, but just because of the testimony of the fellowship, if the non-believer, new believer thinks, maybe there is no love in this church. They can think. Sometimes we live a life where our good can be evil spoken. The Lord wants us to be very careful of how we hold on to that light, how we carry the testimony that he has given to us. He said, keep it until I come and take you home. Don't drop it. Keep it. Lord, yes, I'm doing. You see the flame? Yes. Then we sleep and the flame put off. Then we find if there is any other fire, we just put on the flame. Then we stand like Nadab and Abihu. Lord, see, the same fire. The Lord says, it's a strange fire. No. Same fire. I was baptized in Jesus' name. Look at my history. See, I have read all the books. I know all the truth. I'm telling. Jesus is the Lord. See, I have the Holy Spirit in me. My brethren, when Jesus cast out demons, demons said, you are the Lord. Why are you tormenting us? Demons. Every name that you can call in the world, everything that you can think of, everything bows to him. Heaven and earth, everything trembles at his presence. But what is the meaning of that? Jesus is the Lord with all our heart in our life, we can say, by living only by the Spirit of the Lord. If not, we can just utter, I love Jesus, I do everything to for him. But the Lord says, you are mute. Can you increase the volume? You will scream, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. No, you are mute. Can you increase the volume? Until we show in our life, he wouldn't hear. He would tell us, show me. Show me. He wouldn't tell us, scream. He would tell us, show me. The only intention of the serpent was to just put a simple doubt in the heart of Eve. What if? Could be true. Maybe. But serpent approached her not when she was standing close to Adam. He approached her and he told her what needs to be heard to deceive her. Now, let's think. Genesis 4:38. When Cain spoke to Abel, the scripture says, Cain spoke to Abel and they went to some field. Then Cain jumped on him and killed him. Amen? Then what do you think he might have spoken? Do you think he said, Abel, let's go to the field. You just stand here, okay? I will just jump and hit you and kill you. Just come to me. Do you think that he would have said that? If someone has prepared his heart to be a murderer, he's also a liar. And the Lord says, the father of all lies, adversity from the beginning. The serpent seed would have been the same. He would have told something to Abel just to lure him into the field, then kill him. And the Lord says, the righteous blood of Abel. Jesus said that. Amen? So it was taken as sacrifice. But one thing that surprises me whenever I think about that murder, what Adam was doing for 930 years, how he held his peace, how he stood firm what the Lord told him to do, although he know the murderer of his son is still alive somewhere, although he know the one who committed adultery with his wife is still alive somewhere, but still he lived 930 years, as the scripture says, until the Lord called him home. How come? The two brothers, when Reuben was so angry that his sister was raped, he went and killed. And the father cursed him for the violence. What Joab did when he lured another brother to the gate and he killed him. Amen? Very similar to all the murder that we see. Luring, deceiving, speaking. Why? To do something that can give you the maximum damage. Most of the time, it is not about a physical thing. Nobody is going to give you, please drink this poison. Nobody is going to give you that. But the poison would be given to you in a subtle manner. In terms of encouragement, in terms of smooth, edifying words, in terms of something having a form of godliness. But that poison is not something the Lord wants us to drink. Why? Let's read this. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, the Lord says, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. But before that, there is a beautiful warning that was given to all of us. Verse 10. Then shall many be offended. Let's read this. Many be offended. Like John the Baptist, who was offended just because he was put in the prison and Jesus did not visit him. He was offended. The one who was proclaiming for his coming, he himself asked Jesus, are you the one or someone is coming? Many are offended. Then what? Shall betray one another. Betrayal. Oftentimes, we fool ourselves by saying, I don't hate anyone. True. Because we always compare the word, we love one another in Christ. So the opposite of it is, we hate one another. But the one who truly experienced the love of God, whatever we do against His love will be called as betrayal. Because the Lord bless you to understand what He did for you in Calvary, you know that He died for your sins. You know that He was stripped, smote in the head. They spat on His face, crucified Him, tortured Him. Whom? The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Alpha and Omega, the Holy One, the Mighty One of Israel, did all of this for you. And you experienced the love. You cried in repentance. But yet, when we do something exactly opposite to that, it will be called as betrayal. We may think, I don't hate anyone. I'm not a hatred person. But my brethren, what if the Lord says, 12 disciples, Peter, James, John, those three, they were close to Jesus because of some reason. He is righteous. He knows what to do. He kept them close to be a witness to the transfiguration. And even Peter said, can we make three tabernacles? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elias. Then, whatever the miracles He performed, there was always an audience. There was always a witness. Amen. What if the enemy come and confront the disciples? You see, you love Him so much, but He always take only three of them. You know, whatever Judas says is correct. The rest of you, you should appeal a case against Jesus, that He only kept the three when He entered in the house to heal the daughter of Jairus. It's not fair. He is very partial. It's not fair. If such voices come, and if one of the disciples feels offended, like John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist offended. He was telling all the things, but when the Lord threw him into the prison, when He sealed him, that he couldn't do anything, when He just threw him into a valley, just to perfect him, before He took him, just to take the last piece of flesh from his mind, from his thought, from his heart, just to circumcise his flesh from him, he was offended. Now, when the Lord says, if someone is offended among those 12 disciples, if someone leaves our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Judas left not because he was offended, he left because of the 30 pieces of silver. Amen? He wanted something else. He just threw away the life for something that he can buy a land or a piece of food. That's all. Very similar to Esau, who sold his birthright to his brother for a morsel of bread, for something that can just maybe last him a day. Now, if the Lord says, okay, fine, you feel that I offended you, so you leave the discipleship. Now the Lord asks him a question, why you left your friends? What he would answer? Do you hear me? When the Lord says, we ought to love one another in Christ, for God has loved you, He did not separate these two commandments as two. We cannot say, Lord, I love you, but I just share my faith with my brethren. Faith, hope, charity, of all this, greatest is charity. Untempered mortar. If we all just gather, just because we have common faith, my brethren, we are stones without the cement. We may look like a wall, but when the Lord sends a strong wind, it will break, it will fall. When the enemy comes and sees, oh, this stone looks nice, I will just take it. Because there was no cement, plaster, attached for that brick to hold on to the brick that is next to it. Because it was just placed there for the enemy just come and take it. So what the Lord is telling us, untempered mortar is for the Lord to come and destroy the wall for Him to rebuild again. Because that whatever that was used to put the bricks together, it is not acceptable in His sight. If not, you could think, there are a lot of churches around the world. They are so together. They are very good in socializing. They would not forsake the assembly. They gather, they meet, they discuss, they share their joy. Was it agape love or philia? Was it the love of Christ or the love of brotherhood? Let's read this. Iniquity abound. Verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound. So, the Lord tells the reason. False prophets will rise because the iniquity shall abound. Only then, when it is full up to the brim, he will come and separate. Everything has a reason to go on. Amen? For the Lord is allowing all things. At the same time, he is watching over his children. Now, the most important warning that was uttered by the word of God is verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. What? Stand in the holy place when you see the abomination of desolation. It is not called a sin. Abomination. Now, we are going to study, read and receive the words of life from book of Ezekiel. Let's turn our Bibles. Chapter 13, book of Ezekiel. Chapter 13. Please read from verse 1 to 12. Verse 1 to 12. Chapter 13.
And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, thus say the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision? And have you not spoken false divination? You say, the Lord says, but I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, saith the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility, who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record, the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because indeed, because they have seduced my people, saying peace, when there is no peace, and one built a wall, and they plastered with untempered mortar. Say to those who plastered with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it down. Surely, when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, where is the mortar with which you plastered it?
Amen. Thank you, brother. Where is the mortar by which you plastered it? Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? The Lord is asking a question. Where is the daubing with which you have daubed it? Let's reflect upon our life. We were following some heathen religion, those who came to know Christ from darkness, and those who were blessed to be born and brought up in faith, blessed be the name of the Lord, we have received more. And those who have seen falsehood, those who have seen blindness, the way the Lord separated us and revealed His richness, goodness, doctrines, knowledge, wisdom, spiritual gifts, discernment, everything. To tell us, I love you. 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 But what we do? Thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. I feel so strong. I feel so wise. My brethren, when the Lord says, one built up a wall, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Peter was walking with Christ, saw everything, heard everything. The Lord warned him, he refused. Do you know when Peter denied Christ? When the Lord warned him and he refused to heed to him. At that moment, he denied Christ. Whatever happened after that is just a manifestation. At that moment, he fell. The moment he didn't say, Lord, if you say so, then it must be true because you are the truth. So, I accept. No. He said, no, no, no. No, 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 no. He was keep on saying no to the Lord who said, I am the foundation. Sure, don't say no to me. And the Lord just taught him a lesson. And he was restored from the valley with a mighty hand of God. And the Lord anointed him to be a mighty prophet, mighty apostle. Now, whatever the richness that you think right now, whatever you think of it as a brick. You, me, all, whatever the life is thrown, the Lord bless you with. Goodness, faith, the work that you do for the Lord. 6 things that you love, the things that you hate, whatever. You just fill in your thought. The service of the Lord and the family of God and the family of you on this earth. Think of whatever it is. Imagine these bricks. Imagine these bricks without the agape love of God. Do you think that it will all stand together? Do you think that it would stand against the storm? Do you think when the Lord shakes the prison, do you think these stones will just stay unturned? He will make it fall. If we were not united, we are not attached by the bond of perfectness. Now you see, even the word cement is called bond, you know. They call it as a bond. Oh, mix the bond. Let's go and apply the plaster and just make the wall ready. Bond. The bond of perfectness. Untempered mortar. The bond of imperfectness. The tongue that no man can tame. And the Lord says, I can tame your heart. By taming your heart, he can tame your tongue. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Lord needs to circumcise your heart for you to speak the words of life. If the heart is filled with untempered mortar, own understanding, own interpretation, you know what? The Lord would bless anyone to have beautiful dreams. The Lord would bless anyone to receive beautiful prophecies. Forget not, even the prison keeper of Joseph, he received a powerful dream, but the interpretation was not given to him. It was given to Joseph. The wife of Pontius Pilate, who was in charge of making the decision on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, she received a beautiful dream. And she went and told the husband. And the husband was encouraged by her dream as well. And two shall be one flesh. And he said, he is a righteous man. I'm not committing a sin against him. He washed his hand. The wife of Lot turned back, became the pillar of salt. And the wife of a general who don't even know Christ, she received a dream to be one. For there was some goodness in them. My brethren, there is no other goodness other than that is from God. God is no respecter of persons. Do not underestimate your loved ones. Do not underestimate your family, your relatives, your colleagues, your friends, just because they don't have faith. The Lord would surprise you. The Lord would surprise you. He would lift them up to be more sincere than you have ever been, to be more wise than you have ever imagined, to be more spiritual than you have never been. The Lord will surprise us. So what he wants us to do? Do you have agape love when you see? Do you have agape love when you hear? Do you have agape love when you perceive? If you don't, that is the untempered mortar. It will make your walls to break. Now I tell you. If those 12 disciples decided to leave Jesus, one of them or two of them, just because Jesus kept 3 together in Garden of Gethsemane, he kept 3 in the Mount of Transfiguration, he kept 3 when he called the daughter of Jairus to come to alive. If the rest were offended and they wanted to leave his discipleship, do not forget the verse in the book of Acts, it says, Judas turned aside from the apostleship. It was there for him. He turned aside because of betrayal. It was not called denial, my brethren. It was called betrayal. The moment you sacrifice the love that you see on Calvary for something merely for your own personal dishonest gain, that is the 30 pieces of silver that you stabbed him in the back. That is the kiss you gave him in the cheek. Oh Jesus, I love you. I did this for you. You are my savior. I'll make you proud. You kiss him, but you betray him. When the Lord says, this is not agape love, this is some other brotherhood love, this is some other philia, this is some other social gathering, he would say, I would break it, I will rebuild again. If the Lord wants his glory to stand in the midst of us, if not, he will leave it.
Amen.
He will leave it. Why? He won't waste his time.
Amen.
Do you think God would go and do ministry in the midst of before Christ? He sheweth mercy to whom he sheweth.
Amen.
But he can make any hypocrite into an apostle. Amen? Then what the Lord wants us to do? If an unbeliever walks into the church, we don't know them. They didn't dress properly. If you go and tell them, you know, our church, we believe in this dress code. So from tomorrow onward, you must come in this dress code. You know, the Lord would not be angry with the new believer. But he would be looking at your dress code. This is not a dress code, my brethren. He is looking at your garment of praise, your garment of joy, your garment of salvation. What clothes that you are wearing right now, he can see. He would say, what are you doing? Lord, I'm doing good for you. And the Lord says, you betray me. I want all of us to be aware of this word, betrayal. Because we know the love of God. Don't try to escape. Don't tell yourself, I know the truth, I know the truth. I have the faith, I have the faith. Don't just deceive yourself. You know the love of God. For that reason, everything profits. When you say no, you experience, he made you cry. When you prayed unto him, he made you cry. You experience the way he comforted you. You experience the way that he touched you with his love. You know that no man, no woman can do that in your life. You know that he is my master. That is the revelation, my brethren. Do you really think you can go and tell people? Do you know what happened to Noah? His son uncovered his shame. Oh, tell me, how important is it for someone to walk into the promised land? Tell me. People fight over things that are not critical for salvation. Do not waste your time in vain babblings. Focus on building. Add to the virtue one after another. Build everything upon love. Check yourself, do you have agape love of God? If Moses thought, 40 years, come on. Just let me do my job. I don't want pillar of cloud. I don't want pillar of fire. I don't want spiritual manna. I will just go and defeat the enemies. You have given me multitudes of people. I will go and defeat them, steal their food. I will just reach promised land in no time. Oh yes, you will. By the time you will reach, the promised land will be worse than Jericho. Will be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. The true promised land is his presence.
Amen.
When the Lord said, my presence shall lead you, that's it. Amen. Moses has got the promised land. Enter into his rest, his presence.
Amen.
We become busy in what to do for the Lord. We tend to forget to praise him and worship him in joy.
Amen.
When the Lord says, why are you disturbing your sister? She is just resting at my feet to hear the word. She knows what is important. Let's do not get away with the busyness of the world. Let's do not try to be the savior of your own family. There is only one savior. Don't even try to save yourself. There is only one savior. You can't save yourself. You can't save your family. You can't save your church. You can't save anyone. You can only be the vessel of God for the Lord to do whatever he wants according to his will and pleasure, not to your expectation. He is not your servant. Yet, he calls, I'm a servant. Why he said that? Remember, why he said that? So that no flesh can boast, I am a good servant of God. He came and washed your feet, that you cannot boast. My brethren, the Lord who said, the heaven and the earth is a footstool, he came and washed the feet of his disciples. What do you talk about humbleness? Whatever we do, if we say, I was in the ministry for 40 years, then the love of God should grow day by day by day by day to the extent that that should be our knowledge of knowing Christ in his love. Amen?
Amen.
But what if I say, I have read all the books of Brother Branham. I have studied all the books of Brother Gann over and over again. Tell me, I will tell you the page number and I quote it. Where is the love of God? The same Moses was rebuking the children of Israel. He became a curse for them. Although the Lord took him, even before he entered the promised land, still people were blinded because of the law of Moses. Why? Because the human mind always desire for harlotry in spirit, to have some idol worship. There is a call deep in your heart to do some harlotry with the Babylon, to the world. Have some idol worship. I want this man, I want this book, I want this and that. My brethren, anything that replaces the absolute word of God is an idol worship, whoever it is, whatever it is. Everything else is a pointer. It tells us, don't go this way, go this way, you will see him. The word of God sitting on the Mount Olive giving sermon, go and listen to him. He's here. He's sitting here in this mountain. All the books you read, we thank the Lord for the mighty servants who were able to yield the Spirit to write such beautiful, powerful words of life. But those are signboards. You go on an adventure trek with a group of people and you see a signboard. Go this way, go that way. Even to discern that signboard, the Lord gave you the lamp in your hand. See whether it is the right signboard. Then you follow. The Lord blessed us to be part of an apostolic faith. Don't try to idolize it. Few months before, a brother from US introduced a sister to me who came to Singapore. She was so happy. Thank you, brother. I'm so happy that there is a church. There is an apostolic ministry. I thank the Lord. Brother Gang was there. She was so happy to come. And she sent me all the messages of scriptures, 3-4 days straight. And I gave her the address of the church. And she couldn't join. She wanted to listen from the online streaming link. After the sermon, she sent me a message. You did not quote Brother Branham. So you are a false girl. So I won't come to your church. So if you do not quote the name of a man, you are a false cult. If Brother Branham was alive, he would rebuke the soul in the name of the Lord. If someone come and tell you, have you read Brother Gann's book? Rebuke them on their face. Because every man must stand at your door. Never forget, the Lord is looking at you. Whether you stand up to the faith, up to the grace, up to the mercy, up to the revelation he has revealed to you, to watch and to be careful. A little blindness would create idol worship in the midst of the congregation. Whatever that was done, all the suffering, all the pain, all the valleys would be defiled. And the Lord says, if any man defile my temple, him I will destroy. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But the wickedness we must destroy together. How? Stay together in the agape love of God. Do not have any other untempered matter of your own understanding. In the book of Ezekiel, when the word says, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Why? The word says, they follow their own spirit. Thoughts of the own mind. Intents of the own heart. Amen? Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 32. And the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophets. In one single verse, the Lord has put the double-edged sword. And the spirits of the prophets subject to the prophets. Flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. So how do we discern? How do we stay firm? How do we stand firm? How do we stay clean? The warnings in the book of Ezekiel, it's so beautiful. It edifies us, encourages us to be watchful of our very own self. Don't try to think, there is going to be a beast coming from this direction, so I'm going to be ready. I'm going to hit him. But my brethren, the biggest battle is always deep within. At first, we must circumcise our heart in the word of God. We must make sure our heart is guarded as the Lord said in His word. Only then we can speak the words of life. Only then we can see the path of righteousness. Or else we'll be blinded. What happened to Prophet Eli? He failed to chasten and discipline his two sons. What happened to him? The reproach was returned up unto him again. He fell, he was heavy, his neck was broken when he died. He was blind. He knew his sons were committing abomination in the sight of the Lord. But yet, he just warned them, he didn't rebuke them. Son honored the father. Amen? Is there any scripture where the Lord says, son can have dominion over the father? It is Babylon. Serpent tried to kill Adam. He can't, so he deceived Eve. But he killed Abel. He was able to kill the son. Which one is more painful? To kill you or to kill your son? Tell me. Fathers would say, kill me. Don't lay your hands on my son. Correct? If your love for your son in this world can be this much sweet, this much sacrificial, how much more so? We talk about agape love of God. Read from verse 13, brother, until verse 16. Verse 13 until verse 16.
Therefore, Ezekiel 13, verse 13. Therefore, thus say the Lord God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstones in fury to consume it. So I will break down the wall you have fastened with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath on the wall, and on those who have plastered it with untempered mortar. And I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who plastered it.
Amen. Yes, 16.
That is the prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord God.
Amen. Now you know why we read in the book of Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 that says, woe unto him who say peace when there is no peace. But what people will say? Remember your Savior Jesus Christ. Be at peace. Are you sure? Why the denominations are growing bigger and bigger and bigger? They make peace. They compromise to things which they shouldn't. They make peace with the desires of men which they shouldn't. Woe unto him to whom he say peace when there is no peace. Can he say peace with some compromise to the faith that is revealed to you? He can't. The Lord says, flee, run from the wife of Potiphar who is trying to commit harlotry with you. Run from her. Don't even try to walk. Run. Drop your garments. Run. For she touched your garment. Now, the Lord says he allowed them to daub the wall with untempered mortar for him to later come with the stormy wind in his fury and overflowing shower in his anger to destroy it. So that it shall be a sign. What? It shall be a sign. Do you still remember the name Sodom and Gomorrah? Everyone remembers. Sodom and Gomorrah, yeah, I know. You know the city which was burnt by God? Yes, I know. That is not a sign. What we learn from that, it is a sign for us to stay watchful, to be watchful. Now, the Lord destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed Jericho. He destroyed Nadab Abihu. He destroyed Hophni and Phinehas. He destroyed Korah, Datam, Abiram. He destroyed the 250 men who stood with the fire incense in their hand. He destroyed all for them to be a sign to his children not to fall in the same temptation, not to fall in the same untempered mortar, not to fall in the same fire of profaning the name of the Lord. A sign, a signboard. Don't you do this. Two sons of Aaron were burnt. What happened to the rest? He had two more sons. Do you remember the words Moses spoke? Aaron, oh yes, I just remembered your two sons were burnt. What you do, just take the rest of the two sons and go and do this sacrifice for the Lord. And Moses said the word, the two sons that were left. As if the Lord separated the two, caused abomination from Aaron and the other two sons. And he called the other two, you were left alive. Why? The warning the Lord had given to Aaron on that day. Whatever you see after that happens, you know why Aaron, he runs to do all of this as the Lord commands through him. He knows the consequence of standing before the Lord with such self-righteous thoughts. He knows. He held his peace, contented. Now, when our Savior Jesus Christ speaking about the end of times, he clearly said, shall betray one another. Hate one another is fine. You will be hated by all for his name's sake. But betrayal is so painful. I'm sure all of you might have gone through some experience in your life. Betrayed by your friend, by your loved one, by someone whom you trusted so much, but still he or she just betrayed you. Just did something which you didn't see coming. Why? You are blinded because of the love that you had for them. Now you know why Judas was called betrayer. Because he betrayed the love of Christ. And what happened to him? Let's read how he realized what he did in Matthew 27, 3 to 5. Before we go again, Matthew 27, verse 3 and 5. Yes, brother.
Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself.
Amen. Now, brother, please continue from where you left. Chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, please read from verse 40, verse 36 to 51. Matthew 24, verse 36 to 51.
But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left.
Amen.
Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left.
Amen.
Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming.
Amen.
But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into.
Amen.
Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Yes.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season?
Amen.
Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler of all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on the day that he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Amen. Let's read verse 49 again. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants. Smite his fellow servants. The word fellow servants make this betrayal. Smite his fellow servants. Now you know, the biggest battle the desire and the motivation of the enemy, the flesh, whatever that is working against the will of God in his ministry, is to create confusions, to have compromise and peace in uncomfort mortar, things that are not acceptable to the sight of the Lord, to create enmity against brethren, and to push them to fight against one another, to argue one another. It happens in all the churches, all the corners of the earth. Because the day when the ministry of God loses the focus from what the marvelous light that he has called all of us, the day when we forget about what he did in Calvary, the only experience the Lord has allowed us to understand that he is your Savior, not because you went and studied Godhead and just say, Lord, I love you. You love him because you know what happened in Calvary for you specifically, one to one. That is how the salvation started. The agape love of God, that is the root of all things, whatever the branch comes of it, whatever the leaf that comes of it, whatever the fruit that comes of it, if the root is not rooted in agape love, something else, the Lord would not accept it. For Jesus said, I shall not receive the testimony of man. Now, smite his fellow servants. Now let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, I will read from verse 1 to 3 first, then we will go to 41. Luke chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod up one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. The Lord is warning. Don't think that whatever was hidden will stay hidden. He will bring it up. He will stir up. He will uncover. He will stir up. He will provoke. My brethren, do not forget, it was Jesus Christ who provoked them just by speaking the truth, just by remaining the light who he is, the love of who he is. It provoked them to anger. It provoked them to jealousy. It provoked them to do murder. Because he just wanted to be himself. When Joseph shared the dream, his brothers hated him even more. Whatever the hatred that they had, it grew higher when he shared the dream. When you proclaim your faith, you will be hated. But don't be scared. The Lord wants all of us to see whether you love him the most or you love your brothers and sisters. It's a very subtle, thin line we may lose. We may say, Lord, I love you. But the Lord would say, no, you love him or her more than me. Untempered mortar. And it also works other way around. We say, Lord, I only love you. So I just forsake all. And the Lord would say, last 1 year, your brethren, your friends, your precious brother and sister, they suffered, they fell, they writhed, they been through valley. Why you were not there to pray for them? What would you be answered? Lord, you know, I was hurt. I just offended. So I just left the family. Okay. You are offended by one person. What happened to the family? What happened to the friends in Christ? What happened to the love that we have for one another in Christ? The Lord says, come, return. We love one another because he loved us first. Amen? Yes. He wants us to remember he loves you and he wants us to love one another in Christ, and that is the bond of perfectness that makes us to call family of God. Or else, right, it's nothing but a tuition where people who have the same faith, they come, they study, they sing, they learn, they go. Stones without any plaster, any cement, any bond. It will be there until the Lord sends a storm, until the Lord sends some adversary to shake our ground, to come back to our senses and say, Lord, forgive us, we repent, Lord, destroy us, break us and rebuild us again. We say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he is the builder and the maker of the city. He is not just a destroyer. Shalom, destruction of chaos and confusion. If you say, no, Lord, no, don't destroy. You know you are full of love. If you don't destroy, if the Lord do not destroy the chaos and confusion, then there is no peace.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You should say, Lord, whatever happens, even if it is me, destroy me, Lord. As long as your name is glorified in thy tabernacle, blessed be the name of the Lord. That should be your attitude. It's not about you. It was never about you. It was about the souls dying outside the land. Remember what is happening to this nation. People are killing themselves, harming themselves. What are we doing? Fighting internally. The Lord wants us to come back to our senses and to pray and to come together, not forsaking the assembly of God's family. No matter how big we are, no matter how bad we are, the Lord will see us through. The Lord wants our prayers. My brethren, book of Ezekiel is a strong reminder. He is keep on telling Ezekiel, son of man, speak. Son of man, speak. Where the Lord could go and do everything by himself. Why? You know why? Let's say I am the city. There is a sickness in my heart. A very cancerous cell. A defilement that profane the name of the Lord. And the Lord says, I am going to send the fire and burn me as a vessel, a city, into ashes. And Brother Clement says, Lord, wait. Let me be your vessel. I'll go and talk to him. I'll go and pray for him. I will go and help my brother to pray in one spirit. And Lord, may you bless me to speak the words of faith. That you do the surgery to cut that uncircumcised lip, to cut that fleshful thought, to cut that cancerous cell. Do a surgery, Lord. Don't destroy. Golden calf was built. 3,000 were slain. Two people were committing some abomination. Zeal of Phinehas, when the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall done what was supposed to be done. 24,000 dead. What happened to Korah rebellion? Let's go there. Did it stop there? Did it stop there? Korah, Datan, Abiram, what they did, and the 250 who put the fire therein, did it stop there? Go to number 16. Why the Lord asked us to be very, very careful to show whether we love him the more or not. Number 16. Let's read what happened after. Brother Clement, read this for us from verse 39 until verse 50.
So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers and those who were burnt up had presented. And they were hammered out as a covering on the altar to be a memorial to the children of Israel that no outsider who is not a descendant of Aaron should come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he might not become like Korah and his companions, just as the Lord had said to him through Moses. On the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." Now it happened, when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron, that they turned towards the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the meeting. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." Then they fell on their faces. So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire in it from the altar. Put incense on it and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun." Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the assembly. And already the plague had begun among the people. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. So the plague was stopped. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700, besides those who died in Korah, in the Korah incident. So Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, for the plague had stopped.
Amen. Now let's read this. Verse 49 says, "Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. And how the verse ends? Died about the matter of Korah. One person, one man sinned. 14,700 were died, killed in the plague for one man's sin. Why? Moses said the same word as the Lord. Let's go back and read this. Verse 22, same chapter 16, I read. Same chapter 16, verse 22. Moses said, "And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh." How he addressed him. The God of the spirits of all the flesh. "Shall one man sin, and will thou be wroth with all the congregation?" And the Lord said, "Yes." And he said, "Yes." irrespective of him destroying the root of the rebellion and those who went with the rebellion, 250 who put the fire therein, he burned them. Still he didn't stop. The plague continued. He devoured 14,700 again. How he called it as about the matter of Korah. One man. About the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of congregation, and the plague was stayed. Even after Moses pled for the people of Israel, the Lord still plagued them. Remember, even after the 3,000 were killed. Why? Was the Lord is so wroth to kill them? The scripture says he takes no pleasure in the death of the people. But he is who he is. He must preserve the promises. He must fulfill the words. He must protect and watch over his children. Sin of one man consumed many. True. Now let's go to Leviticus. There is two verses that I wanted to read. Leviticus chapter 10 verse 12 and 16 I will read. Chapter 10 verse 12. We know what happened to Nadab and Abihu. And just before that we know what Moses and Aaron did. They gave burnt offerings, sin offerings, peace offerings, we know. Nadab, Abihu, they put some strange fire before the Lord. For that reason they were burnt. And Aaron held the peace. But look at these two verses. Verse 12. And Moses spake unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left. Look at the word that were left. As if the Lord was about to burn them all and just let them. As if the Lord just tells all of us today that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Whatever the Nadab Abihu that we have in our heart, the Lord says, burn it in his presence. Burn it in his promises. Burn him in the word, the power that we have in the blood of Christ. We say, Lord, I surrender. This is what I'm struggling with. Help me overcome. The Lord would say, I will burn it. And we remain as the sons of God, that whom we were called to be. But still, we have the reason to rebel against him. But you know what the beauty is? Whatever we do, we can say, we stand firm this and that. But the thing that we have to be very careful is, let us not betray the love that he showed us on Calvary. That is my humble request to all of us, including me. Let us not betray the love that we have experienced of what he did in Calvary. Do not be blindfolded by the doctrines, by the knowledge and wisdom. You may forget Gethsemane. You may forget Calvary. That consciousness should remind us every day to renew our mind, to come back to the senses. It's all about the love that he had for you and me. The same love that you and me should have for one another. 2018, where Ronnie was standing in the same pulpit, was sharing his testimony, shedding tears, making the pulpit to be washed. Same as Brother Zoya. I was sitting in the chair. Nobody knows my past, right? Nobody knows what I was doing before I came to Singapore. I didn't tell anyone. Whatever the testimony I shared, whatever I want to share. But there are certain things that I would keep it myself, because I'm not here to say things to profane the name of the Lord. I must live a life. When Barali was speaking, I felt, I'm telling you, nothing. I felt I am nothing. Whatever I did, nothing. Whatever I know, nothing. Whatever I was trying to do, nothing. Because I didn't know that my brother was going through this valley. I never prayed for him. I didn't feel that agape love that I have for him. When that moment the Lord spoke to me in my head, what are you doing? Learning? Seriously. What you learn? Nothing. I thank the Lord for the testimony of Brother Zoyal and Brother Raleigh. I would never forget. For the Lord to smoke my head. Come back. Return. It's all about the love of God. Would you forsake your mother and father just because they scolded you? What would you say? Lord, where would I go? We share the same roof. Oh yes. Now we just share a rental apartment. So we don't share the same roof. We can forsake one another. We know nothing. If the Lord comes and asks us, where were you when your brother and sister going through pain, suffering, valley, backsliding? Where were you? I don't see your prayers. What would we answer? Lord, I just left the church. I just left the pack. I did the mistake. I was wrong. I confessed to the Lord. I was wrong. We can say, Lord, I stand for you. I pray. We can say all of that. But the Lord would say, I see you as a single stone. Where is the neighbor? Where are your neighbors to whom you can give your life? Where are your neighbors? What would we say? Lord, I learned this, I learned that, I know this, I know that. The Lord would say nothing. Only the Lord can make us into something, and we can become nothing any day, even now, any day, any moment we can become nothing. How? The moment we drop agape love, that moment you, me, all of us are nothing. The moment when someone comes to the fellowship and say they don't feel the love of God, we are nothing. There is no other way of telling this. It is the truth. As plain as it is. The Lord wants us to be careful. He says, do you think that I came for peace? Who said that? Jesus said that, right? You just heard. He said that, do you think that I came for peace? I came to divide. Divide what? Let's read. Luke. Let's read this before we go again. Luke chapter 12 verse 41 to 59. I will read this, brother. Luke chapter 12. Verse 41 to 59. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? He's questioning the Lord, just to check whether it is for all or just for him. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, and whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? We know that there is only one Lord who can feed us. Amen. Blessed is the servant whom is the Lord when he cometh shall find so doing. He is calling all of us. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. All. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken of our own thoughts, own knowledge, own wisdom, own desire, own personal dishonest gain, then the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looked not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. What? Unbelievers. But he was called as a servant. All of a sudden he is earning a new title of unbeliever. Unbeliever, unlearned, untamed, untempered. The Lord says, we can only see until the Spirit can make us see. Amen? You can only listen until the Spirit can bless you to listen. You can only understand until the Spirit can bless you to understand. For it is not granted unto you. The same word can be misunderstood in various ways. If the Lord decides to strike you with blindness, with deafness, with dumbness. But the Lord says, it is my grace you stand. And now, verse 47 says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. It adds some new blessings compared to what we read in Matthew 24, what Brother Raman just read. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Unto whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. By his wounds and stripes we are all healed. Amen. Don't you take that verse for granted. Remember this verse. He will give back what was taken from him. Verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I, if it be already kindled? And Hebrew says, God is a consuming fire. And we give him the chance. We give him the desire from our hearts. What you want to burn? The offerings or you yourself? Your flesh or you yourself? And how the Lord discerns? How the Lord separates? And the Lord told Aaron and Moses, separate yourself. And the Lord says, deny yourself. Amen. He wants us to show our faith. He wants us to tell him, Lord, I stand at the door of my tabernacle, for I stand for your love. I stand for your Calvary. I stand for what you did on the cross for me. I stand, Lord, for that love. Don't just stand for the doctrine that you learned. It profits nothing. Don't stand for some prophecy that you heard. It profits nothing if there is no agape love of God. Prophet Eli fell. He was called prophet. The Lord was speaking to him. Still, he fell. Lack of understanding. Thoughts of own heart. The Lord rejoices in the unity of the family. I ask you a question. I miss the little princess Elizabeth here. The butterfly. When she was born, can she walk? She can't walk. As she grows, she walks. You could enjoy the beauty of kids learning walk. So beautiful, right? When she grows, she walks straight. And she runs, she dances, she sings. The Lord bless us to witness the growth. But if the same thing happens to someone in spiritual life, what do you do? Oh, this sister, spiritually very weak. Lack of faith. Oh, is it? Is it? The Lord would surprise us, my brethren. If a tree thinks this plant is very weak because the stem is not strong, it is shaking for all the storms and winds. The tree which is keep on accusing, criticizing, will remain where it is. The Lord would send some servants will come and cut the tree to make some decoration for their house. The plant which was weak would be left behind because it was on a tree. And that plant would survive because of the weakness that was put in that plant. Now, what would you boast? Weakness or strength? Because of your strength, you were taken, uprooted. Because of the weakness, the plant survived. Correct? Now, can we say, I am a plant, I am a tree? Are you the gardener? Am I the gardener? Only He knows. But what we do, Lord, convert our hearts to be like children, but in spiritual life, help us to stand like upright men, the armed men who went before the ark. But the Lord tells us whom He prunes, whom He chastens, whom He provides, whom He taketh, whom He giveth. He does all according to His will and pleasure. Be careful. Let's see, we are all sitting near a pool. People jump and swim. And we all sit like this and just watch. And we say, oh, look at that sister. She swims well, but you know, the foot movement is not correct. But look at his brother. He swims very fast, splashing so much water. Come on, swim well. Oh, look at this group. They are actually holding their hands and they are not swimming, they are just floating. Come on, do something. Reach the other side of the shore as quick as possible. On the other side, some small children trying to learn bicycle and they fall right, they fall left, and they fall right, and they fall left. Then two people sit on the chair and say, you should do this. You are not doing it right. This is wrong. Let me teach you. This keeps on going. And if the Lord comes and tells those who were ranking, monitoring the swimming of all the other people, and the Lord would say, come, it's your time. Go and jump into the pool. You can't take your hand. Because of all this time, your hand was like this, never put into practice, never put into work, did not exercise faith, but rather simply accusing, criticizing. When the Lord says, jump into the pool, Lord, what would you say? Lord, my hand got stuck. The Lord would say, I never tied your hands. It was your hand, not my hand. And the Lord would go and say, okay, you go and ride a bicycle. Then the two would realize their feet, their knees were frozen because they sat all these times. They didn't stand or walk. They didn't exercise the faith. And they couldn't stand. So what happened? The ones who couldn't swim, they were allowed to criticize those who tried to learn swim. Of course, they were weak. They made mistakes. The ones who never rode bicycle, they were criticizing those who were trying to learn bicycle. They fell. They got injured. They were insulted. They were despised. They were put to shame. But, if there is no agape love of God, whatever that you think will be like this. Whatever you think you can run faster will be like this. It will be a lame. The Lord blessed us with so much things. Let's pray to the Lord that those things should not be the same things that made you forget the agape love of God. Then we will be the same people with plastic untempered mortar. The Lord has no other choice but to break. Because Jesus says, I did not just come for peace. I came to destroy. Only then it will result in peace. Amen? Before we enter into the promised land, what is the event, my brethren? There is a mighty battle. Amen? Before the great white throne judgment. We know the regeneration of Christ. We know all these sequence. The Lord has blessed us. It's a powerful, beautiful, wonderful ministry of through this apostle, Brother Chuck Gann. We bless the name of the Lord. But if all of those things are not attached to the agape love of God, if you do not ought to love one another, if you don't take accountability of one another, if you don't take the fault of one another, then when the Lord called Moses and Aaron, you shall bear the iniquity of the congregation, where are you and me? Correct? The Lord told Moses and Aaron, you shall bear the iniquity of not you or your family, of the congregation. All of us are here. We are responsible, accountable for one another. Only then we understand what Adam did. Only then we could understand what the lost Adam is doing. Accountability is the only way we can become one. True, we are not perfect, we are weak. But I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, all those who are listening, all those who are watching, all those who were hurt, who were deeply hurt, I apologize in the name of Jesus Christ on behalf of the family of God. We miss you and we love you and we invite you in the name of Jesus. Return to home. We need your prayers. We need your help. We need one another. Do not think you pray, the Lord answers. True. But when we pray together, we see the Lord more clearly. We understand the power of fellowship. The Lord wants us to walk together. If it is 10 years, so be it. 20 years, so be it. 2 years, so be it. 40 years, so be it. Whatever it is, together. We fall or we rise, together. We stand or we crawl, together. Togetherness is the beauty of the Church of God. Let's read a few verses before I close. Verse 15. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? How am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, nay, but rather division. Who is speaking? Let me say, the unity of the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, bless us to be united. And the Lord says, surprise, surprise, I came to divide you. What is the meaning of it? The Lord says, I will give you the knowledge and the truth and the power of the resurrection, the love, the guidance, the comforter, for you to separate yourself from everything else, for you to run away from everything else. Then you stay united. But for him, he divides. The wrath of God that separates the judgment, the punishment, the pruning, the growth and the destruction. He decides how long, how far he will go. We call him the Prince of Peace. You should understand why. Read this again. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. That is why he is called the Prince of Peace. He gives you the true peace by destroying chaos and confusion. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Amen? We are all strengthened by the spirit of truth, not by the spirit of confusion. Amen? What we fear? Nothing. The Father, verse 52, you read this very sincerely. There is a deeper meaning to it. The Lord is not pleased in dividing the loved ones, but he wants to separate for them to have their outstretched arm to bring those who dwell in darkness, to bring them back to the marvelous light. Read this carefully. Verse 52. From henceforth, there shall be five in one household. Read this. I will read here, right here. Five in one household. What happens to them? Five in one household divided. Three against two, two against three. So, the Lord says five in one household divided. Three from two. Three against two, two against three. Is it the work of the Prince of Peace? Is it how the Savior, the Master, who called all of us to love one another in Christ, and give your life for your neighbor, there is no greater love other than that, to be friends in Christ, and what the Lord is telling us. If I say, I love my younger brother, who wants to kill me, I love him, I can't hate him. But if I say I love him to the extent that I will compromise my faith on the Lord's name, I will raise you against your brother. For your brother to have the door of salvation open through you. Not for you to despise him, not for you to hate him, but for you to keep the hand outstretched, to remain as the lighthouse that the Lord wants you to be. Do not let your light be compromised by some smoke. The Lord wants you to shine the light. Read this carefully. Five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Tell me, where do you see peace? Tell me. But there is peace. If we are blindfolded because of our love for our family ones, loved ones, when we compromise something to the word of God, to the church of God, the Lord says, I will raise you against one another, so that you will be tossed fro, you will be pushed, you will hit here and there, then you will come back to center. Then you will see, it's not about your father-in-law, it's not about your sister-in-law, it is not about your mother-in-law, it is not about your uncle or niece or nephew, it's all about the brothers and sisters in Christ, in the family of God, in the word of God, united by the agape love of God. If there is a compromise, the Lord says, I have to cut, I have to divide, or else you will die. It is better than the second death. Amen? The Lord says, nothing will stand forever. He will unite us back. I stood against some of my family. Not in a way that, oh, don't you dare to speak about my faith. Don't you dare. No, I didn't do that. I was like the victim. They persecuted me, despised me, mocked at me. I just let them be. I just separated myself from their congregation. Whenever they call me, I go, because I must hold on to my love for them. But whenever they call for argument or any other family function that surpass the family gathering, I reject. When I reject, they hate me. I'm sure all of you have seen this, right? If you tell your family members, sorry, Sunday I have to go to church, they'll say, are you kidding? Go in the evening. And you say, we have only one church. They will say, oh, so we are not important to you. You heard this, right? They will hate you. So the Lord separates you. It's painful. But those who hate you will thank you tomorrow in Jesus' name. Wait and see the mighty hand of God. Wait. The Lord whom we serve is faithful. He is not dividing. He is separating for the benefit of all. May the Lord bless us as we grow in His word. We will continue next week. I pray the Lord bless all of us to understand. He wants us to pray for one another, my brethren. The Lord is pleased in listening to such prayers. He wants us to gather together. The Lord is pleased in unity. No matter whatever the difference that is and differences. But the truth is, we are blessed that people pray for one another. You never know the strength that you are holding today, the revelation that you are holding today right now, the grace and mercy that you are enjoying today right now. Someone prayed for you. You may never know. Someone, they went on their knees, cried and prayed for you. You will never know. So better be grateful. We may think it's because of me, because of us, but no, the Lord said, no, I did not answer your prayers. I answered his prayers. I answered her prayers. Because the Lord says, he spoke to David plainly. He spoke to David through Nathan. He do all things in his according to his will and pleasure. He just wants everyone to understand that he is all in all. The power of God is in you. The love of God is in you. For that reason, we love one another in Christ. May the Lord bless us to break the tempered mortar, not in the way of men, but to build the tempered mortar in the word of God, and to break all the untempered mortar that is against the will of God, which is not acceptable in His sight. We are all weak, amen, but in our weakness, He will show His strength. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shalom, brethren. God bless you all. We will continue next week. Let's all stand. Our Lord, our God, thank you, Lord, for the house. Thank you, Lord, for the roof. Thank you, Lord, for the walls. And thank you, Lord, for the foundation that is sure. Thank you, Lord, for the apostolic faith. Thank you, Lord, for the apostolic doctrines. But Lord, I pray, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who called all of us friends. May you bless us to always remember Calvary, to always remember thy love for all of us that is deeply rooted in every one of us, to see Jesus Christ in every one of us, to see the goodness, to see the spark, to see that little light that is burning, that we are yours, that we belong to you. Bless us, Lord, to be united, and separate us, Lord, from our flesh, our wickedness, our weakness, our untempered mortar, that we may remain as the holy priesthood, that we may remain blameless, to bring the sweet aroma, the fire incense, to glorify your name. Lord, we pray, as we learn from Nehemiah, Hezekiah, Nadab, Abihu, Hophni, Phinehas, Sanath, Sanballat, Sennacherib, Lord, we pray, and we learn from all of them, that we learn from them, Lord. That's all about you. It's all about your love. May you bless us to guard our hearts, to guard our minds, and to do everything to glorify your name, and to give us the boldness and utterance to stand at the door of our tabernacle for Risha Ruta Rima, Hafarata Ruka Rita Rima. For the Lord shall destroy any man that defile the temple of God. Lord, may you bless us to stand as the spirit man, as your tabernacle, to glorify your name. Help us, Lord, to stay rooted in the name that is above all names, in the name that is given for the salvation, the name that revealed to us, the name that showed us the true agape love of God. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. We ask for the grace and mercy upon all of us. And I pray and I rebuke all the wickedness that is rooted in our mind, in our thoughts, in our heart, in the name of Jesus, that we may stand firm to glorify the name Yeshua, Yahweh is salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.